y'all can.
Make sure we done. They know that I'm coming.
Okay. Yeah.
It's unlocked for all the
time. Yeah, you can tell her. Hello. How's everybody doing? We hadn't had one in this setting in a long time, have we? We may have a few more that pop in. I'm going to try to stick to an agenda, and we will move through everything the best we can, as efficient as we can. How's everybody doing tonight? Good. I brought my glasses. So I just want to give a brief word tonight. It's going to be very informal. If you have any questions, feel free to ask anything. I do have a mic. If you could ask it in the mic, we would appreciate it. And I'll tell you why. You know how often I come up here to this podium? Not very often at all, because my Christmas candy cane is still up here. That's how often I come to that podium. I don't go up there hardly at all. But here's a mic. If you could talk into that so we can get it on the recording. We do record the business meetings in case there's ever any questions later. But here, I'll let y'all hold that and we can turn it on here. I feel important to hold it, right? Yeah. You'll have to turn it on first. But if you if you do ask a question or anything, if you would please tell your name and just so it's on record, okay? Sound good? We're gonna be official tonight. I don't like formal stuff. I'm not very good at formal, y'all. But I'm gonna do the best I can. So here we go. But I want to give you a brief word from God about the church. And as I was studying for tonight, getting ready for tonight's business meeting, I came across a word found in Ephesians three different times. And the word is fullness, F-U-L-L-N-E-S-S. And the Greek word for fullness is pleroma, P-L-E-R-O-M-A. And it means that which is or has been filled. So let's look at each of these instances where this word is mentioned in Ephesians. So the first one is Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. And it says this, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church." He's talking about Christ here, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And so in this passage, Paul is talking about Jesus being placed over the church. As the church, we have the potential to take part in and benefit from all that Jesus is. All that he has accomplished and all that he possesses. As we do this, we continue his ministry and his mission in the world. And the second time the word fullness is mentioned is in Ephesians chapter 3. Beginning at verse 16, it says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and to Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." What does this sound like? sounds like a prayer, right? He ended it with amen. This passage is a prayer from Paul for the church at Ephesus, and Paul is praying for the church to reach its fullness in Christ. And then the third time that the word fullness is mentioned is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." So in this passage, Paul is explaining to us that the church is on a journey toward spiritual maturity until it reaches its full potential of attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ in life, ministry, and mission. God wants his church, to reach its full potential, right? Amen? He wants us to be everything that we could possibly be. And Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus is a perfect image of the church reaching its potential. He gives us a formula that we should use to become all the church is supposed to become in Christ. This is the formula. Jesus was placed over the church who is us, the bride of Christ. When the Bible mentions the word church, it's not mentioning a building. It's not talking about a building. It's talking about the body, the people, us. We are the church. Christ loves his bride, and he wants to take care of his bride, and he has entrusted the bride to help, or to us, to help to build it well. He wants us to build each person, each other, well. And the question becomes, do we fully understand just how much Jesus loves the church? Jesus loves the church so much that he was willing to go to the cross and die for his church. He laid down his life for the church. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, just read as one of the last. It says, this was the prayer, it says, "May have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ." So think about this. What is the width of Christ's love? It's the world, right? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So what is the length of Christ's love? It's forever. It never ends. It goes on forever and ever. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, "Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away." What is the depth of Christ's love? It goes all the way to the cross. That's the depth of his love. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." And what is the height of Christ's love? It goes all the way to heaven. You can't get any higher than that, amen? It goes all the way to heaven. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him." Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen? Jesus loves the church, which is us. He loves us so much, and he goes to great lengths to make sure that we have everything. Amen? He makes sure that we have everything at our disposal, everything at our hands to be the church that he's called us to be. And that's the culmination of what Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. It says, so Christ himself gave what? The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. And look at verse 12. Look at this carefully. To equip his people. Are we his people? Yes, we're all his people, right? For works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So he has given us everything that we need. Whatever we need to accomplish the goals that he has for us, Christ has given it to us, right? He supplied it. We've got the greatest teachers. We've got the greatest information. We live in an information age. There is no way that we can't minister to. We can minister to everybody in every way on every continent, however we want. If they have internet, we can minister to them for sure. And then we even have the means to go to those that don't have the internet. We live in a there is no better evangelistic period than the time that we live in now, because everything is at our fingertips. And that's who being the church is. That's who you want, the fullness of what God has for us, the fullness of God. We have everything. All we have to do is take those things that God has given us and use them to fulfill his kingdom and what he has for us. So we have a business meeting each year to talk about our plans for that year, and we work within the parameters of what God gives us to become the church that God is calling us to become. And this is why we do everything that we do, is to become what God wants us to become. That's why we do it, right? So let's pray. God, we just thank you that we can be here tonight, to have this time, to be in your word for this short time, but God, also so that we open up our hearts and minds to respond to a meeting that we have, that we do every single year. And God, I don't want us to think of it as just something that we have to do, but I want it to be a celebration of what we've done the past year, and then a celebration of what we're going to do this year. And so, God, I pray that as we look ahead and put our hearts and minds together, God, help us to see what you are calling us to do. Help us to be the church that you're calling us to be, so that we can go to the places you've called us to go. And we give you the praise and we give you the glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. So I'm going to move through some stuff. Go to the next slide. I want to see what I think I wrote. Put stuff up, or go to the next one. Sorry. There we go. I put stuff up there different than what I put on here. So I had made this and then I wrote that. And so it's a little different. So let's look at the finance. Let's get that out of the way first. And I'm not very good at Robert's Rules of Order. So, we can just pretend we know what we're doing. Or if y'all know what you're doing, you can say, I make a motion, or whatever you want to do. If not, we can work this out. So. Yeah, my wife's shaking her head back there going, I can't believe this. I'm not very good at Roberts. It's in there, but anyway. Any questions? So we're looking at the finances here. There's just one, at least one thing that I want to bring up. Two things. So there's one in the income. If you look under building fund, that was insurance. There's a course big portion of that that was insurance money that came in under building fund. The $14,264.22. So a big portion of that was the insurance money. And then if you look down here under disbursements, under maintenance and repairs, $40,923.20. That's the roof. Well, most of that's not all of it, but I'd say 95% of that is the roof. So everything else is pretty much self-explanatory. If you have any questions about any of it, you can ask and I'll answer. I even brought my expanded sheet that I can go a little more in detail, not a whole lot, but anybody got any questions over anything on that financial report sheet that you have there in front of you? Yeah, go ahead. Oh, there's the mic. It'll be green when it's on. Push that button.
No, that my name's William Daniel, and I'm just wondering, the $20,741.42, is that borrowed money from the bank? Do we owe the bank that?
Where at?
Down under cash balance.
No, that was, we had some money left from the previous year. I know I didn't show it up here. I didn't do very good on this. Oh. But we had some money from the previous year, so we're actually not that much in the hole. Okay. But we spent more. Okay, so you know how insurance works because you went through a lot of this same stuff.
Yeah.
So we took in more last year than we spent on the roof. And this year we spent more on the roof than we took in. Does that clear it up any?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and it's about $20,000 difference there. Because we got it in last year, but we didn't spend it until this year. That makes sense? When we repaired the roof, we wrote them a 70-something thousand dollar check last year. Then we had to write them a 30-something thousand dollar check this year, but we only got like $13,000 or something like that from the insurance company. So if I gave you two years worth, it might all balance out. So if that makes any sense, did that clear up? Anybody have any questions? Anybody else? Does anyone want to, huh? No, oh, what we got in the total from the insurance company, I'd have to look it up and get you those numbers. I don't have them in front of me. Even this doesn't tell me. I know this year we got like 13,000, something like that, and that's just going from memory. We got like three different checks. We got the first check, and then we got a second check, and then we got a third check. So I would have to give you a total of what all three checks were. But it pretty much covered the roof. I think we were out a little bit out of pocket. And then they also wrote off some too, the roofing company did. Does that make any sense? Oh, I meant to put summer camp, y'all. That's my fault.
That's summer camp?
It's supposed to be summer camp. I'm sorry. That's what we brought in for summer camp and special events. I think $1,600 of that was for camp.
Then the one on the bottom section where it says guest speakers and special events, $68.
Yeah, it wasn't the guest. That was for special events, like the Halloween thing, different that, stuff like that. We didn't really have any guest speakers. So, wait, let me rephrase that. Sometimes we will have a guest speaker that's a missionary, and so that would be under missions. Does that, you see that?
Okay.
So does that make sense? As you can see too, the utilities are a lot more than they used to be. They keep going up, yes. Insurance got raised as soon as we finished the roof. This year when it renewed, they renewed at higher rate. However, I was searching. You know, I did some searching and some, estimates. I got some estimates and went and did some research and talked to different pastors that were in a boat of getting new insurance. And there's a lot of church insurance companies that are dropping churches. So I decided to just stick with what I am, with what I have, and not get rid of anything and just bite the bullet and do it. Because it is, right now, I mean, it's rough, especially with churches, because churches are getting sued right and left, and so they're dropping churches. Yep. Yep. Because we have, any ministers that we have are covered, like if they're counseling somebody and somebody accuses them of sexual misconduct or anything, we have insurance for that. If somebody breaks in and steals everything, we have insurance for all the contents, plus we have insurance on the building if something happens to the building, plus we have, I mean, it's unbelievable what coverage there is. And I probably need to add some more. I mean, because it's at the rate everything's growing and everything keeps expanding, it's always something new. I feel like I'm behind every time I go to do anything.
Is this policy like a lot of home policies? Does it move up with the cost of replacing some of the stuff, you know, like the cost of building material just keeps going up and up and up? Does this policy go up with that, or, you know, as far as what they would pay?
The way I understand, that's the way it happened on the roof. He asked about the cost of products going up and stuff, and if the insurance goes up. So basically, I know it did when we got the roof replaced or what have you, and that was one of the reasons why we got a third check, was because there was a because we got the roof, the main part of the roof, except for the little wall that separates the two buildings. We got the main roof finished in September of 22. But they didn't finish the middle part of the two roofs until April or May of 23. And it's because the materials that they had first quoted were not the right materials for code. And so the insurance or the roofing company had to go to our insurance company and say, look, this building's not up to code. In order to get it up to code, we need another X amount of dollars. And the insurance company said, no, we're not going to pay for that because you didn't put that in the deal to begin with. And they said, yeah, but it's up to code. We didn't see it until we tore everything off. And then we didn't know it was until we got under there and started. So that happens all the time. So there was a back and forth. That's why it took however many months that is, 7 months, 6 months, 8 months, to finally get it to where we now have a roof. And for the first, I've been here over 15 years now. And for the first time, we do not have any leaks. And it was leaking. And I've talked to people that were here before I got here, and they said they don't ever remember it not leaking. From the very beginning. Yep. And this is the first time I will give high praise for Elite Roofing If anybody needs a roof and you need somebody to go to, Elite's who I would tell you to go to, because they did this building, and nobody's been able to do this building that I know of in the 40 years that this has been around. Because the biggest problem is, if you see how this goes here, and then there's a little break or whatever in the roof, and then it goes flatter. So the problem is it would come off that steeple, and then it would get underneath. And they are the only company that I know of that put flashing under that, so that it would break off, do it the right way. Everybody else tried to cut corners, and that's why, yes, they cost more, but yet we've got a roof now that doesn't leak. And so now we can move forward with what we want to do. Because there was no point in doing anything until we got the roof fixed, because you just kept getting, if you go through every one of these classrooms, you can look up on the ceiling, you can see where there's been issues. The worst one right now is in the office. It looks awful. Nursery? Oh, but it's not as bad as that one is. Oh, and the hallway behind in this stairwell. You want to see some damage? That stairwell is full of damage from where it just leaked and leaked and leaked. And this is the first time that I've been here, and even before that, that we don't have any leaks. Yes, we had in the room, we had it pouring. This is what started the whole thing, was we got a call from Cheryl and Adam. They were here cleaning one Saturday. It was after a big snow that we had, and so whenever snow is frozen and then it starts melting, it slowly starts going. Well, we had water pouring in the roof in that old cafe classroom, and that's what kind of started this. That was in 2021, 22, I don't remember. It's been a while. Yes, we had some. Yes, we did. We had to move all that out of the way to put buckets down, because it was just pouring in. I mean, we're talking, it was a steady stream. You know, whenever your water falls at the lowest it is, that's the way it was. It was just a constant stream in that room. And it's like, oh my goodness. So, yeah. So, that was an interesting discovery. So, especially when it's a room that you don't ever go in. And then all of a sudden you walk in there, it's like, uh-oh, we got troubles. Anyway, so that problem is behind us. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, that's been a headache. You can still see remnants of it in this walkway. If you look up on the ceiling as you walk up there, you can see where the plaster has fallen down, and we just kept cutting the sheetrock tape because it was going to pull down again. So we've got all these little things in all these rooms that we're going to fix, and I'll get to that in a minute. Any other questions about this? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, in the top part, you've got missions, $5,815.
Uh-huh.
Is that offering we took up?
Yes, that is what people have given.
Then at the bottom, you've got $11,531.
So what we do as a church, if someone gives tithes, we take 10% of all tithes that come in. So let's say our tithes 1 week is $1,000. I'm just, then $100 of that goes to missions. And so it's not going to reveal up here. So that's why our number that we give to missions is. And then also BGMC comes out of that missions. Speed the Light comes out of that missions. And so somebody may. Right now, a lot of that should appear on missions, should be there, but like if it's changing stuff, it probably isn't that giving amount, the BGMC and Speed of Light. But we do take 10% of tithe and put it in the missions fund. Does that make sense? So we always give more missions than what we see brought in. Any other questions? Somebody want to make a motion? Anybody? There you go. All right. All in favor, say aye. Any opposed? No? All right. What's the next one? Thank you. Okay. Real briefly, I just wanted to talk about some changes that we've made in ministries. I didn't give you a report. I didn't ask people to write anything out. I just want to kind of give you an update, if you want to call it. You can call a report, you can call it update, whatever you want to call it. I want to give you an update. In kids ministry, Maley retired from kids ministry, and Cheryl has taken over. And this morning, you had how many? They had 12 kids this morning back there. And so it's going pretty good. And they had a good service, and kids were praying for each other and crying and all kinds of stuff, man. Power of God's moving back there. Do what? There's going to be revival in our kids, man. I'm telling you, that's what we want to see is revival in our kids and our youth. And we'll see this church explode when we have revival taking place in our kids and youth. We're going to start picking some things back up this year. If you remember, I think it was August that I pretty much stopped everything from August through December. And part of it was just to give everybody a break. It was just a lot. Several things had happened over the summer. We had several people that moved away. We had several, it was just a lot. Change was taking place really, really fast and really, really quickly. And I will say some of it was probably because I was in school, wasn't helping the situation very much, because it causes some stress in my family when I'm in school, which that's almost over. We just got till middle of fall, and then I will be done and graduated, and I'm looking forward to that day. I've got to write an essay tonight, so pray for me. So that's kids ministry. In youth ministry, Duke stepped down from doing the youth, and I took that on. And Maley and Finn are helping me. And we've had anywhere from 4 or 5 to 10. So it just depends on the Sunday night. And so we had a large group on Christmas party. We had like 12 back there for our Christmas party. It's going really well. We've not been able to meet for the last few weeks because of all these different, the weather and this event. And the next week is the revival, and we're just having our youth come into the revival. It's just been a very steady, busy time, but we've got some things that we're planning, some events and stuff that we want to do. We're going to start getting some other events and ministries going and different things. So, and then outreach. We stopped going out down to the Hope Campus and feeding, but we are doing some other things. It's not that we're not doing anything outreach-wise. Just to name a couple of things, we still have our food pantry. It is done by appointment. People can call in and make an appointment, or we have a way that they can also text in to make an appointment. What the appointment is they can make an appointment on Tuesdays between 9 and 1, and we get their name and their phone number in case there's ever an issue or something. And what we do is they come in at that time that we schedule for them, and they pick up their groceries. She meets them up here. Karen's doing that. She meets them up here, and she takes care of all that. She goes and picks up stuff. And then something cool that they kind of started doing that it just kind of one day they were at the food bank, and they had ordered some drinks. And the food bank said, if you order a whole pallet, we'll give them to you. And they're like, okay, that'd be smarter to to take the free ones than to buy them. And so they took this whole pallet. And then they asked me, said, what do we do with all these? And so we had, I don't know if y'all remember, we had them set up drinks back there in the back, and y'all could go take whatever you want. Well, the next month they did it again. And I said, you ought to call down to, y'all know where Steve Sakanis lives. He lives down at Midtown. And I said, you ought to call down there. I said, there's a lot of people down there that don't have the means to just go and, you know, buy whatever they want. And so now what they're doing is they're taking these drinks down to Midtown, and the residents there come out and they get whatever they want. And so we're able to bless all of the residents, because there's a lot of residents in that place down there. And Steve gets to help down there, and he's a part. And so it's kind of a neat little thing and a little ministry that they're doing. And we're just looking for any other ways that we can minister to our community and help in any way that's possible. And so we are doing some things. It may just not be as public knowledge that we need to be better at publicly. Oh, yes. Brinley wanted me to let y'all know. Yes, I've had an opportunity, two, three times to speak at Partners in Christ at Chaffin. Thank y'all. I don't know where my kid goes. At Chaffin Middle School. And so it's been neat. I got to go. They invited me to come do See at the Poe back in September. So there's been opportunities that's opening up on campus. He's supposed to be calling me to come speak again. And they'll have 40 students. It's amazing, man. They pack out this little classroom. I told him, I said, the last time I went, I said, you're going to have to get you another room, because I don't know how y'all going to fit everybody. Y'all running out of space. I mean, they're packed in there like sardines. And so that's pretty neat getting to do that. So there's different things that we are doing, and we're trying. And so any other way that we're trying to open up any other avenues, yeah. Oh, yeah. See there, I'm just forgetting everything, y'all. Yes, back in, I guess it's been since March. I've been doing it since March or April of last year. They had called and said, hey, would you be interested? And you can ask Pastor Bill. That was a step out of my comfort zone. And I said, I said it like this, yeah, I can come. And so I planned to do that. I had planned to do that. And so it's become a monthly thing. Once a month, I get an opportunity to be on their daily. It's not a talk show, because I pretty much talk and he'll chime in every once in a while. But it's about a 30-minute program during the day on 89.7. And then once a week, our church service, well, the preaching part, is on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. And you can listen to that. It's about 15 minutes long, and you can listen to that. And that's on every week. And I try to remember to send y'all out a notice. Are y'all getting the notifications, hopefully? And if you are wondering how you can access it, you can actually, if you have the church app, I have put the link to the radio broadcast on. It's right there. It's 89.7, The Word. And you can actually click on from the app on that without having to try to hunt it down. So there's that as well. Oh, yeah. Come on in. Hey, guys. Come on in. Any other questions on that part? Yes. Now, let me say this. It's free. All they've asked is if we have extra to give a donation. So I've given them $50, you know. And my goal is, as we have it, is to give them $50 a month as our income increases, then we want that to increase as well. But that is our goal and whatever you want to call it. So, any questions on any of that? I think I'm done with that one. Oh, I guess we do need to make this motion to accept the reports. See, I tell you, I'm not good at this. There you go. All in favor? Any oppose? You're not allowed. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, this is my favorite part. Okay. This is one I would get excited about. This year, you saw our missions giving. Did y'all get one of these? It's on that chair. I'm sorry. No, you're good. All right. So our missions giving, if you look on here, it was $11,531.66 this year. I think 1,800 of that was BGMC, 1,200 was Feed the Lot, I believe. So about $3,000 of that was to those two ministries alone. I think another 120 was to Light for the Lost. And then the rest of it was missionaries. Okay? This year, this is exciting, or at least it's exciting for me. It's something that's near and dear to my heart. For the last 2-3 years, we have been giving $25 a month to Compact Ministries. Compact. Is that right? Did I say it right? In Hot Springs. Yeah, Compact. Compact Family Services. Thank you. We've been given to them $25 a month. I do them like I do a missionary, like I would do a missionary. I give them monthly support. Several years ago, it was on my heart that we needed to do something. What was it? A couple years ago, Roe v. Wade got overturned, which was a great day, right? We were all excited about that. But I also said, and others have said, if they're going to overturn that, there's going to be more adoptions. There's going to be more unwanted children. Do you see what I'm saying? It's going to increase. So the church has to step up. And before they ever overturned Roe v. Wade, I felt like we needed to do something. And if you don't know what Compact Family Services is, it's basically the foster care system. I hate the word orphanage, but it's like a place where kids can go and stay until they get placed in homes. Yes. And then what's the other one? Highlands. Highlands is the other one. Yeah. So they've pretty much put them all under, it's all under one name now, Compact Family Services. And, so I was like, and I can tell you this, they do a much better job than our state and our government does. Okay. And so I said, we've got to do something. So that's when I started giving. I said, it's not a whole lot. We don't have a whole lot of money, but I want to give something. I want the church to give something. So I took them on, and we all agreed, our leadership agreed to, yes, we will take them on $25 a month, and we will give that. And we've been giving that I get letters about every other month with a little, I put them out there. If you ever see that magnet. Let me just make a mention. So we're talking about missions. That magnet board out there, one side of it is all missions. It's from our missionaries. If you ever get a chance and you just are waiting between church or something, go out there and read some of those letters. It tells what they're talking about and what's going on. And I put that out there for you. don't share it on Facebook or any of that, because a lot of that stuff is private and they can't let that stuff out. But they send the church a letter so that you can look at it and see what's happening and going on. So go out there and look at that, okay? But about every other month, Compact Services sends me a letter, and they'll always talk about a child in there that's being helped because of giving. So anyway, I've said a lot to say this. This year, both BGMC and Speed the Light are partnering up together to give to Compact Family Services. So everything that we give to BGMC and Speed the Light this year in the state of Arkansas is going to help this ministry, the foster care system in Hot Springs. And also, I believe it's the national campaign that they're doing, that other churches in the nation can give their money to BGMC, and the other nation, the other states or districts, it's going to be, you know, if that's just going to be another avenue that they can give to that specific. All of Arkansas is going towards that. Does that make sense, what I said? So I want to show the first video, and then I'll come back and tell you something more.
Every day, across the United States, the lives of countless children are being rocked with neglect, abuse, and malnourishment due to the ever-growing brokenness within families. As poverty and drug addictions increase, so do the number of children being placed into our nation's foster care network. How do we stop the carnage that is being created within the lives of these precious children? What is the church's responsibility, and how do we get involved? Through BGMC and Speed the Light, Next Gen Missions has decided to be all in to impact nearly 400,000 lives that are affected by this epidemic. All in to equip and train the church to impact their local communities. All in to facilitate missionary partnerships to stand alongside of government agencies to be the hope for the abandoned. All in to effectively engage alongside of Compact as we equip them to update their facilities and add to their growing program, sustain their daily efforts of bringing restoration to the broken, and launch them to new territories of influence where families can continue to understand that there is a hope that can be found in Jesus. We are all in to bring awareness to this crisis as it continues to rock the fabric of our families in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our states. In our fellowship alone, we have nearly 13,000 churches. If every church could raise up 3 families per year to be foster parents, we could single-handedly reinvent the entire foster care system in just 10 years. What could you do to break the endless cycle of neglect in our nation? What could you and your congregation give to see that this child, and this child, and this child, and this child has a stable, healthy, sustainable home that shows them the love of God and the hope of a different future? Will you be all in for the AG Foster Care Network?
I want to take a moment and I want to read this from the executive director of Compact Family Services. He says, "I love good news, and great news is even better. Well, I have some great news to share with you. 2023 just finished up, and it was an amazing year. 2023 saw an increase in children and families served through the growing ministries of the Compact Family Services Agency. Thank you for your faithfulness and sincere love for compassionate action. Compact's Hillcrest directly served 106 residents. These included very traumatized individuals in the Qualified Residential Treatment Program, developmentally disabled children, teen moms and children, and many aging out foster kids in the Transitional Living Center. This all happened in 2023, and now the Hillcrest Children's Home Campus is entering its 80th year of 24/7 care for children. The Safe Care program serves 746 people in family households through our prevention program, coming alongside vulnerable families with tools to stay safe, remain intact, educated, and united. The Foster Care Ministry of Compact served a total of 112 foster children while facilitating 14 adoptions through this effort. There was a total of 36 kinship placements, 28 families being trained for pre-service eligibility, and 221 trained in continued care. Wow, and praise the Lord. The CompaCare Care program saw an additional 600-plus children and families empowered in local churches across the nation. Nearly 2,000 children and families were directly impacted by the Ministry of Compassionate Action with the Love of Jesus in 2023. Our FIND team was able to connect 38 difficult-to-place children to friends, individuals, neighbors, and devotees. This service provides a growing opportunity for Compact, and the state is wanting us to now case manage these newfound placements. What a valuable gift we provide with the love of Jesus and the stability of finding a lost family member their own family. Additionally, 119 home study referrals were completed for adoptive placement opportunities. Truly, your faithful partnership with Compact provides a tremendous gift of family and hope of Jesus in critical situations. We are expanding, and the opportunities are mounting as Compact and the Assemblies of God Foster Care Network work in tandem to engage a missional mandate to reach the over 400,000 children and broken families in our nation. Thank you in advance for your prayers and your consideration to financially support this noble ministry. As you can see, there's a huge need. They are a private, but then they also, they used to not be able to do like what DHS does. They can now do the same things that DHS. So the way I understood it is now a judge can call them and say, we need you to take this child. Correct. Yes. So they have made strides, and it's opened up doors that they're able to do more than they've ever been able to do before. So as you can see, the need is humongous. So, yeah, go ahead.
There'll be babies out there that will go a lot of the facilities, stuff like Highland and stuff.
Yes.
Like that. So they're going to need a lot more help.
So, yes. Yeah. And so we need, so they need financial resources. And another thing that's pretty cool is we can also send, I thought some of our other ministries, like I didn't know if Royal Rangers and Girls Ministries would want to do something, but you can buy, they have a birthday club, and you can buy gift cards for the students. And when it becomes their birthday, they give them these gift cards that they can go to McDonald's and Burger King and places like that and spend these gift cards. And it's provided by people in the churches. So if there's something that you would like to do, to, I've got some information that we could get involved that way as well. And there's so many things. Go ahead. I don't know if they do, but I don't think they do because they're a private institution. So, and so they don't have the same rules that DHS has because of government's involvement. The way I believe is the government doesn't have any hand in it at all. It's all completely privately funded and run. Yeah. Yes, my uncle, who's passed on now, but many, many, many years ago, went through Hillcrest. He was he had a rough family life, family situation, and he got placed in Hillcrest. for a time. And so it's impacted, you know, members of my family. Lisa's dad was the director of Hillcrest for a number of years. So, I mean, it's been an amazing ministry in our state, and not just our state, but in our denomination, in our corporate fellowship. And and so, but anyway, so it's amazing. So here's, I said all this, I'm going to show you another video in just a second. I said all this to say this. This year faith promise. We have given a faith promise for BGMC and Speed the Light for $2,500 each. So a total of $5,000. And that money will in turn go to Compact. We will still continue to give to our missionaries, and we will still continue to support Compact, the $25, because that's a separate thing. But I'm asking you to help us. If you can, if on that first Sunday, like next Sunday, the first Sunday of the month, when those kids come around with their little buddy barrels, if you got change, if you can fill it up, if you need a buddy barrel, we'll get you one. We've got some. When you hear us talk about Speed the Light, if you can give to Speed the Light, know that everything that we give this year to that will go to this ministry. I'm going to be showing that first video that I just showed. I'm going to be showing that this coming Sunday, right before we give, right before we take up offering for BGMC. This is something that really, the first time I saw this video, I couldn't stop crying. And then every time that I watch it, I have to hold back the tears because my heart breaks for these kids. I just...
told me that he left our church to go there, and he said that he had one that drove up, let six kids out of the car, and drove away.
Wow.
So that's the type of stuff. All of a sudden, they're just inundated with
kids,
children, and I just can't imagine how traumatic it is for the children.
So, needless to say, this is a ministry.
Great place. If you've never been there, you're anywhere near Hot Springs.
Yeah. Well, that's something that I was thinking, if there's a way we could maybe possibly figure out a day trip or maybe a couple of days that some of us could go up there and help and minister, do whatever we can. Let's go ahead. Let me show you this video, and this will give you a better idea of the facilities, because that's what this video is about.
My name is Alan Bixler, and I'm the Executive Director of Compact Family Services. We're the Assemblies of God Family Services Agency, and we have some incredible opportunities for you and your church to pray and to give towards this awesome mission. Compact Family Services. Compact stands for Compassionate Action, but it's not just a ministry that has been going on for a short while. Nearly 80 years, 1944, this ministry started as a vision of a young lady named Gladys Henson. She started with three young people, just taking them in as foster children, growing it up to 17 kids. Now, obviously, laws and state regulations have changed, but she birthed this ministry from a passion and heart unto God. It's still going on, and it needs your help and your assistance and your prayer, and that's why I'm talking to you here today. So the Compact Campus itself might be bigger than you think. It's 52 acres. It grew from one just small house in a garage to 52 acres. God has blessed with different cottages and ministries, ranging from our ministry to our moms in Highlands to our developmental disability service cottage. We're the only one right now in the state of Arkansas. We've opened two cottages now. We also have a TLC. It's our transitional living center. It's awesome. It's for kids that are aging out, 18 to 21 year olds. And then also, we have our QRTP, it's Qualified Residential Treatment Program for foster kids. These kids have been through a lot. And so we're going to go through and take you on a tour. This is where the ministry started back in 1944 in a little house. We call it the Henson House, named after the founder, Gladys Henson, which is where we have our counseling center for our residents today. On campus, there's a fully functioning gymnasium, a pool, a pond, fully stocked with fish provided for the residents. These amenities serve to provide structure, stability, and therapy to the residents while also giving areas for activities and play. Additionally, missions teams are housed in the upper areas of the gymnasium when they come to serve the needs on campus. They come multiple times a year from all over the nation.
Hey, my name is Cody from Navarre First Assembly of God in Navarre, Florida. Our church has been coming to Compact since 2014, and it's been a huge blessing, not just to Compact, but to our church as well. We come expecting to bless others, but the blessing really comes back on our team. I have seen relationships with parents restored between children and their parents. When they come and they do the work and they see what the students of Compact are going through, it makes them realize how blessed they are at home, and it rekindles relationships with parents. I've seen young and old alike have a hunger for missions birthed inside of them and want to become missionaries, become ministers, become pastors, want to become foster parents one day, and realize how important it is that we take care of those that God has placed in front of us. I really encourage you and your team to come to Compact, serve, and see how God can bless you.
The dining hall is a fully operational cafeteria and commercial kitchen providing meals for the cottages Monday through Thursday. They also provide dinner for the Compact Residential Hillcrest staff and residents on Tuesday nights. This is always a wonderful time. It's a time of connection and fellowship for the entire campus. Each cottage is scheduled to participate in setup and cleanup routines for this event. For some of our residents, this is an amazing opportunity to experience a home-cooked meal in a family-style environment for maybe the very first time in their lives. And I'm praying that God will put in your heart what you can do to bless this ministry.
So that kind of gave you an idea of the magnitude of that place. That's in Hot Springs. When we were a part of Section 10 in Arkadelphia, that is the section that Hillcrest is in. And so we would have banquets there. Our churches we'd go there and have banquets. It's a very neat facility, a very large facility, and it's a very old facility. It's been around for a very long time, and it's in, they're needing some repairs on a lot of their buildings. And I believe it was last year through Speed the Light and BGMC or one or the other or both, I can't remember, they were able to give them a $50,000 donation to help with some of their facilities. But as you can see, that's a very large facility. A lot of people, and $50,000 is just not much, especially in today's, building supplies and all that. So this is our missions project for this year. Just as that first video said, we want to go all in. And I want our church to go all in with BGMC and Speed of Life this year to give to this ministry. And so if you can help, if you can encourage our children, Cheryl wants to be a human hot dog. So we want to hit our goal. Chili dog, human chili dog. And so when they hit their goal, we're going to make her a human chili dog. So y'all definitely want to see that, right? We'll go outside on the parking lot and the kids will get to muster her and catch up her and all that good stuff. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. I'm not doing anything. I just want you to hit the 2,500, and I'm going to encourage you greatly to hit the 2,500. We will take all your money. If we hit both goals, I'll think of something to do. So lots of fun this year to be had, and we're all doing it for Jesus. Amen? All right. That's the missions. We don't have any more videos or anything. I think I've got it all. However, I want to talk about a few things. So now that we've talked about the spiritual part, let's talk about the other part that's not necessarily spiritual, but it's a need. If you look around our church, you can see a bunch of unfinished projects. We have been in a constant state of projects for the last 15 years. So I want us to, over the next year, this year, we're going to begin, as money comes in, repairing and replacing, fixing, completing, whatever you want to call it, different projects, different areas. I jotted down a few that we want to finish. We want to get, if you look at the back, in the back, you know, we've done the fellowship hall. It looks pretty good, don't it? The fellowship hall does. Well, we want to extend it into that hallway. That hallway has looked like that probably for the last 2 or 3 years. I don't know. But we want to finish that hallway, paint it, and lay laminate, flooring, vinyl, flooring down in that hallway. So we're going to continue it from the fellowship hall into that hallway. So it won't take as much money to do that because it's a smaller square footage, but it will take some time and it will take some, still will take some money, because that stuff has slowly been going up. Every time I go to Home Depot and look at the one that we need, it's gone up again. So it's no longer a dollar a square foot that it used to be. It is now $1.40 or whatever it is, a square foot or whatever you want to call it. So everything is going up. Nothing has gone down. So we need to finish that. If you look at this beautiful stage, everything looks good, except it's not finished. We've got carpet missing in the back, and most people that come that don't know it don't see it, because when you sit out here, you can't see it as bad as whenever you're up there on stage. You're up there on stage, you can see it really bad, can't you, Kent? And so we want to finish that. We want to kind of make it a little bit of an elevation so that we can hide all the cords and everything. We want to put new carpet in on the stage. Well, we're not changing this carpet. This carpet will stay. But the stage, we want to put new carpet up there and do that. We also want to change out the projector. I have the projector. I just got to rent a lift to get up there and take that down. And but here's the key. Then we got to test to see if it's the projector that's up there, or to see if it's the cable that's connected to that projector. If it's the cable that's connected to that projector, it's a bigger job than if it's just the projector. If it's just projector, it's no big deal. We put the new one up and we move on with life. But if it's the cable, then we have to run a cable from there all the way to back there. Okay? So as you can see, there's some chore there. We want to do more lighting in here. We've got some money that we've been putting aside, raising, collecting for lighting. So we have that. We need to replace some more of our lights in our sanctuary. As you can see, they're all constantly going in and out, and you may put a bulb in that and it may not fix it. It's just these lights are old. We want to get stage lighting, better stage lighting to light up our stage. It's very, very, very dark. If you've ever seen our YouTube footage, you would see just how dark it is, because you see a very dark image on the screen. We want to do that. We want to, we also want to update our fellowship hall for sound and lighting for our youth and kids. We've got sound. We just got to do a few. It won't take a whole lot, but there's just a few things that we've got to do to have it fully ready for sound. We don't have any. We want to get some lights to set the mood for our youth and kids. Right now, we're turning off all the lights, and the kids just have the glow of the TV on Sunday nights. But they like having that atmosphere for worship. If you've ever gone to camp, you know what I'm talking about. It's a pretty awesome atmosphere, and that's something the kids like. And so we want to do some things to be able to do that. We also need to update our outdoor lighting. If you've ever noticed, we've got some that are out. The big lights are out. We want to replace all of those with some LED lights. Now, all the lights in around the church on that little awning or whatever, that's all been changed. Those are all LED lights. Those are good. And they're all the way around. If they ever go out, we replace them. We've got the timers set now. They kick on about 5-6 o'clock at night, and they stay on all night long until 5 or 6 the next morning, and they kick off. So we're trying to keep security around. The only problem is, if you look in the back here, you can't see anything over on this side because these lights are out on those poles. So those need replaced. To replace all those with LEDs is going to be about $6,000. What do we spend on these lights in here? One section, was that about $400-$500? So basically, for each section, you can figure about $400-$500 for each section in here. So if we did, let's say 500, easy math. So you're looking at $3,000 is what it costs to fix these lights in here. Stage lighting can be anywhere from, you can probably get it as cheap as $10,000 and all the way up to $25,000. I mean, it just depends on what you want to put in. So there are some improvements that we want to make. I know not all this is going to be done in a year. It's going to be over time. But I think there's some projects that we can tackle and we can knock out fairly quickly, and it'll make some improvements on the inside. Of course, that's going to take some money. We also still don't have a sign, but we at least are closer because we at least know what kind of sign we have to have now, right? So Pastor Bill went down and talked to the city, and we found out what kind of sign we have to have, and there's only one kind of sign that we can have. It can't be internally lit. It has to be lit from the outside, shining on the sign, and it has to be a tombstone-style sign. So, yes, very dumb. Yes, a lot has changed in the years. So we want to put a sign out there in the middle that has the church name on it, and so we can get rid of these banners. But because I got to replace these banners. These banners are looking pretty bad if you've noticed lately. Anything I'm missing on? Oh, yes. I've got to call out the the detection people. What do you call them? Leak detection people. Because we have a leak somewhere, and I don't know where it's at. And so they've got to come out here and find it so we can get it fixed, because our water bill is really high right now. Now, as soon as we get it fixed, we'll get credits back for a lot of this overage. But we got to get it fixed. And I've got to call. Matter of fact, I need to call them this week. It's $250 just for leak detection to come out. And then the repair for the leak, because they had to bust open the stage. That's where the leak was. And I'm hoping I'm sure it's probably going to be on the stage again. At least that would be an easy fix if it's back there where the carpet's not. The repair was over $1,600. So. Everything in this building is an arm and a leg. Does anybody have any arms and legs to spare? Because every time I do anything, it seems like there's another. And to find out, you know, all that electrical work that we did this past summer, the air conditioner people forgot to send us a bill, so I have a bill now. They said pay it whenever you can. They understood. That's another bill for $700 that we didn't get back then. So, needless to say, it was funny when I not funny when I was buying all this new sound equipment that we have, which is it's nice, isn't it? When I was buying it a couple of years, several years ago, it was like every time I'd go buy some, it was $3,000. Then you buy more, it's another $3,000. Every time you buy more, it's another $3,000. It's like everything costs money, and it keeps going up. It has not gone down. So, any questions about any of the repairs or any of the things that I have given you? I've said this not for you to vote on it because it's stuff we got to do. I mean, right? I mean, there's. But I've said this so you have more money and yeah. Yeah, we're going to try to do some things and or repair it or whatever. Huh? Curb appeal, yeah. So we don't know if we're getting rid of that old shit yet. It might be still salvageable. I know it's. I don't think it is, but that's what I think. That's what I think, but Larry's determined to fix it. Yeah, that's what I told him. He goes, yeah, I think it may be far already gone. I said, well, we'll just have to see. So, huh? I couldn't hear you. Yeah, but I don't want to pay the deductible because our deductibles went up too. Our deductible's $5,000 now, I think. Yeah, our deductible went from $2,500 up to $5,000. So, and we're paying more per month than we were. So, gotta love insurance. So, any questions? Have I covered everything? I've covered a lot. So, hey, I got you out of here, and I've only gone an hour and 17 minutes. That's pretty good, isn't it? I did pretty good. And give myself. Yes, that's part of the plan is to fix the carpet that keeps coming undone over there. All right. May not ever get it up. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try to get an estimate on everything, kind of what, and I'm going to start with the cheapest down to the most expensive and try to knock out some of the ones that are going to be fairly cheap to do. Exactly. I've been doing that since I got here. I haven't sat down and made a priority list yet. But I will tell you the thing, items in this building are top priority, and that hallway back there is up towards the top. So I think we can do that hallway fairly cheaply. I don't think it's going to, other than some paint and some flooring, I think we can knock it out for probably a couple thousand maybe. What do you think? Does a couple thousand be what we need back? Yeah, for that hallway, just for that hallway. Yeah. Yeah. Paint's ridiculous, yeah.
Might check it. It's L&L, I think now used to be Lumber Liquidators. I don't know if you've ever been there. I mean, that's all they sell is just floor.
Well,
you might be able to check with them. Are you wanting them?
I want the same. Yeah, I want the same, yeah. Huh? We have two or three boxes of that. 10 boxes we do. There you go. So we're farther along than I thought we were. So we're close to doing that. We just need to do it. But we need some money. I do need some money to do it. So, all right. So I would say that's that hallway, this stage, and this lighting in here is probably the three things that would be at the top of the list. Everything needs done, but that's the, yeah. Yes. If you need something to do, I've always got something to do around here. It's a never ending supply of something to do. All right, any questions?
Does anybody need a BGMC barrel?
Cheryl wants to know if anybody needs a BGMC barrel. We got them. We got plenty of them. We got a whole box, don't we? Two boxes. We got two boxes. There you go. And they're the new ones, the little fancy color ones. So, yeah. All right, I'm going to pray. Oh, we got to do a little closing. Oh, okay. Oh. We got to do a make a motion to dismiss. All right, there you go.